Yeah. I've got topics.
Okay, I've got no topics. Sandine has no topics, but the Strickland does.
I just came up with one.
What, the twit party?
Nope. No, I would have gone to that, except for the fact that at that point I was starting to feel like if I had shown up, I would have been kind of like, I'd be imposing, and I just don't like doing that, so I decided not to do it.
I doubt you would have been imposing. I don't think people would have noticed that you snuck
Well,
in.
You know, I mean, it would have felt a little awkward, and I'd rather avoid that. I mean, it should have been a party for people who were, like, really supposed to be there kind of party.
Then I shouldn't have been there. There you go.
Yeah, you're an employee. I think you count.
That's exactly why I shouldn't have been there. All right, so what's the topics you have picked for the podcast without pretense? Jonathan Strickland.
I was thinking.
Music?
All right, so we've got all these remakes and reboots and stuff that are out there, right? Like that. There's been several past years we've seen those pop up. So stuff where we're seeing like relaunches of series, like, you know, we have the Conan the Barbarian movie that just came out over the weekend, which I hear is absolutely terrible. We have the Fright Night remake, essentially. That came out this weekend. So my question to you guys is, what series or property or franchise or single film even would you actually want to see redone? Oh. Like either completely reimagined, so it's taking the same basic concept but totally changing it from that point on, or even just taking something and saying, you know what? I liked this story or whatever, but I think we could probably do it better today with today's technology.
Well, that's simple. That's Masters of the Universe.
Well, yeah, because that warrants a revisit.
The movie, anyway, not the television show, which was really bad. But
right,
it had
the movie, which was, of course, based on the source material, the toys.
Well, Transformers came out, it was based on toys, and that's a thing.
Yeah, it's
I would
thing.
Like. I didn't say I wanted to have a crappy script. Like I was hoping.
So you're thinking Masters of the Universe with like a legitimately good script?
Hey, you said imagine one.
You live in a world that I want to visit sometime. I.
It's in Petaluma. But
you know what? You know what? As a kid, I was like really into collecting He-Man action figures. I gotta admit. I mean, I was that kid. That show worked exactly the way it was supposed to. It convinced me to go out and buy action figures with my allowance money.
Yeah, exactly. They would be like, hey, man at arms, you have a brand new battle tank. And he's like, this battle tank? It is great.
I had Castle Grayskull. I had Snake Mountain. I had the battle ram thing.
Yeah.
You know, the bit where the front part would detach and became like some sort of air-based jet ski type deal. I had most of the characters. There were some basic ones that I never picked up.
Did you get the Faker that was a cereal box? No, it was Prince Adam. That was the one that was a cereal box exclusive.
I think I did have Prince Adam.
I did too.
I think I did have Prince Adam. I know I had Battle Damage Skeletor as well as the regular Skeletor.
Did you have the one that had the pop caps? The ones that would hurt your fingers? I had that one.
The pop caps?
Yeah. So
I don't know this
one. Remember you know those pop guns?
Yeah.
Those rings that were inside a bit of a...
Right.
So you could twist He-Man and hit his backpack and you'd put it in the pop caps. And then you'd hit a button and he would like fling really hard. Like so you'd twist. Okay. So he'd be like a power punch kind of thing. The
right.
thing is, it would always end up like throwing a spark out.
Right.
So your finger would end up black. Your thumb would end up black because it fired off in your hand.
And they don't make toys like that anymore.
No, not anymore for good reason. Because I remember
it's in
going,
Mexico.
"Ow!"
Mexican toys, totally.
So that's good.
I think one that I'm not sure if they would if they well, I'm not sure I want it remade, but I'm sure it's probably going to happen. Is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. Would you if you were to
see it coming back?
Let's say that you were you know, there was an attempt to bring it back for a while. I think there was another like cartoon that
there was
yeah,
a
CG.
New cartoon at it was yeah. CG.
It was a CG
yeah, there was
movie.
A more recent
oh.
yeah, there was a more recent one. But well, let me ask you this, Eric. When you think of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, let's say that you have been given the green light to make one. Would you be looking at going back to sort of the old the comic books based storylines, the ones that were a little more
grim and gritty?
Gritty is kind of the wrong word. I mean, they were definitely more gritty than the Saturday morning cartoon type stuff that we got with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right,
but I wouldn't
call it
like Frank Miller presents Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It would be interesting to see it in that light, especially seeing how, you know, they haven't had a cartoon on the air for a while. Wait a second. Nickelodeon plans to develop a new CGI animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and bring
that's
it
the
to
one
theaters,
I heard about.
Expected in 2012. All right, well, then that's happening.
Well, there you go. See, you get your wish.
It wasn't necessarily a wish, but I would like to see it as slightly more serious than at least the movies they came out. I mean, the silly jokes were great, you know, watching them punch the clown punching bag and getting into a fight with it was great, but it would be interesting to see it in a completely different light than that.
I would like to see it with Casey Jones. That's the vigilante guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would like to see the it done with Casey Jones done the way he was in the comic book, which is the way Batman really is, a crazy, violent vigilante. Like, he wasn't fun and games in the comic. He was a jerk, and he beat the crap out of people, whether they legitimately deserved it or not.
Hmm.
So kind of in a way, we've seen some of that recently too, with things like movies like Kick-Ass and Super. They've kind of explored that a little bit. The normal guy who kind of finally has too much, and he adopts the superhuman persona without actually possessing superpowers and kind of takes the law into his own hands, but in a crazy way. Not like the world admits that it's crazy, right? It's not like in Batman where eventually you get all the characters buying into the idea of Batman. Rather, it's supposed to be more like based in the real world where people be like, that guy is nuts.
This is going to be off topic, of course, because we do that. Watch the documentary on HBO, the superheroes documentary?
I did not.
Was that the one about the guys in front of the Chinese theater?
From the Chinese theater? No, that was Confessions of Superhero. Superheroes,
right.
This HBO documentary, is exactly what Jonathan is talking about. These are actually people who are costumed individuals going around in real life. Okay, this is not a mockumentary. These are real people who have decided to take the law into their own hands and go out there. And the second you watch it, you immediately perceive them as crazy. Because to do it, it's not a good idea.
Well, you're endangering yourself, you're endangering everybody else, and I mean, yeah, it's just nuts.
And I mean, the fact
it
that
it is bonkers.
And you can't get costumes that look as good on film in real life, because otherwise you're just walking around, and then you got to go open up your cell phone, and you look like...
I don't know, man. I've seen some shots from Comic-Con. I think somebody could pull it off.
Yeah, you go to Dragon Con, and you'll see some costumes that are... The problem is that the costumes that look good have very little mobility and no utility whatsoever.
So, Jonathan, what would you want remade?
Okay, so the one I would want remade totally, like going to the basic concept and starting from there, from the ground up, and I've heard rumors of this actually happening, is Highlander. Because I think Highlander was a fun, high-concept film. Like, the idea was great. The first film, even though I love it, I mean, I love the first Highlander movie, but even I have to admit, it is a terrible, flawed film. It's got pacing issues, it's really confusing, you can tell that the guy who directed it came straight from directing music videos. It just didn't have enough cohesion to really keep it going, but it had a lot of style to it, and a lot of quotable lines, and of course, Sean Connery really makes that film work. It's such a neat concept. I would love to see that done from the beginning and done in such a way so that the end of the first film does not immediately negate the need for sequels. So in other words, the way the movie, the Highlander film as it exists now ends, really there shouldn't ever have been a sequel to that movie because there was a definitive end to that film. We had the last immortal, he wins, period. If I were relaunching it, I would launch it in such a way where the end of the first film doesn't have the final immortal left. There would still be several immortals left.
But didn't Highlander do a sequel that they completely disregarded in the series?
Each sequel kind of disregards the previous sequels. In the second sequel, the way the original producer's cut came out, it they said that the Immortals were actually aliens who had been banished to Earth, and part of their sentence was the fact that they were immortal and they'd have to fight each other, and then presumably whoever was left would have the choice to come back or not come back. There were a lot of unanswered questions. Like, if they went to Earth and that's why they were immortal, then why were the aliens that were back on the planet still alive hundreds of years later? A lot of stupid questions came up because of that. The director's cut of that essentially cut out all the alien stuff. Which really didn't help the movie that much. It just made it less stupid, but the movie was still hard to watch. And each sequel after that just kind of ignored whatever happened in the previous movies and just continued the series. But what I would want to see is a complete relaunch where from the very beginning they don't have any of that baggage. They're just starting with the same concept and they start building on that.
I agree with you. That actually sounds fantastic. And I hear that you can write a rough draft in under a day.
Right? No, I need 6 weeks if it's a Bill and Ted movie. But if it's a Highlander film, I can do it in 4. It's not as complex.
I mean, if we're going to keep remaking stuff, I'd still like to see another go at Nightmare on Elm Street. Because I mean, that remake was really bad.
Was it? I never saw it.
Yeah.
So I did see the remake of... Did you see the remake of Friday the 13th?
Yes. I actually fit.
That.
I thought it was right in line with the rest of them.
The guy who was the whiny rich kid guy, the guy who was like all boast and everything for most of the movie and then turned into a whiny little pain in the butt at the end.
Yep.
I thought his performance was one of the most enjoyable performances in that movie. I mean, you didn't like the character because he was not likable, but the performance was so fun. I was like, this guy's pretty good. I think his one of his parents, I think, works with my wife. So, or maybe grandparent. I can't remember.
Friday the 13th has a good series of terrible movies, like Jason X.
Jason X is awesome. That's the one in space.
The
right?
one in yeah. space, yes.
The one in space that's, is fantastic.
That's one of the best
well, yes,
movies in
it
the
is
series.
Fantastic.
No, if you want to talk about, like talk about terrible, fantasy. It's Jason Takes Manhattan. That's the worst one.
I can't watch that because it's not on Watch Instantly. Like, I want to see that again. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, where they spend maybe like 5 minutes in New York total, and I think it's like Toronto serving as New York or something. It's terrible.
Well, that one's...
It's terrible. Oh, what a horrible movie. Well, what about, did you see Jason versus Freddy?
I did see that.
I liked Freddy versus Jason, actually.
That's it, Freddy versus Jason. See, I mixed it up. I actually thought that movie was totally unnecessary because the Jason Goes to Hell movie ends with... Jason being pulled into hell by a and you see a clawed hand come up at the very end and grab the hockey mask and pull it down into the ground.
You're discussing
hand.
The necessity of movies in the Jason series, Jonathan.
I know, but I just want to say that I thought that was a much more satisfying crossover where everything else is left up to the mind of the viewer because
right.
they knew no matter what they did in a actual crossover movie, it was never going to live up to your expectations.
Well, I mean, they had a great scene at the end where they basically leave the camera on the two guys while they're basically chopping each other to death. I mean, like, it was an interesting point. Instead of doing the super quick cuts, like I have the DVDs. That's right. And I see in the bonus features talk about the director saying, I wanted to shoot this like a wrestling match or like a MMA fight. Just leave the camera on them instead of doing thousands of cuts. And I was surprised that's a lot of restraint for a horror movie, you know?
I actually thought there would be it would make a great video game to have a video game where it is like a wrestling game, except all the characters are the iconic horror movie characters.
I think Freddy's unlockable character. Yeah,
Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would love to have one where it's like Battle Royale. In goes Leatherface, followed by Mike Myers, followed by the Ghostface, followed by you know. All of the, like, Candyman, followed by Candyman versus Death from the Final Destination movies. That'll be exciting.
And the final monsters are, like, Frankenstein, the Wolfman,
yeah,
the classics, the Mummy.
Yeah.
How is that not a thing? That should be a thing, other than the licensing.
That's a Caligari.
Oh, speaking of remakes, I wouldn't mind seeing Spawn remade again, honestly.
Oh, why? Because that first one was pretty bad.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see Spawn?
It could have been awesome, but yeah.
I'm actually, you know what? As much as I talk about like comic books and stuff, I'm really not a big comic book fan, and so.
Well, you got beat, Jonathan. Come on, I mean.
Well, I mean, I've got some comic books in a collection back at my parents' house, but I was never really big into it. So when Spawn came out, I was just like, well, that's kind of an interesting concept, but I never got around to watching it. I think I've seen maybe little bits and pieces when it was on cable ages and ages ago, but I've never actually watched the movie.
I mean, the effects are pretty good, except that there's a CG cape that is, I mean, it just kind of stands out like a cartoony look.
Had that been done now, though, that scene would have been absolutely amazing.
It could look better. Definitely look better.
Well, you know what I would like to see? I'd like to see, since we talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles earlier, I would like to see a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tick crossover.
No. Tick belongs in another universe.
No. Those two universes could totally coexist. A world where you've got these crazy superheroes like in the Tick, and a world where you've got mutated turtles that talk like teenagers, clearly these two worlds could coexist.
No, because I mean, even the Tick is crazier. I mean, I could see Casey Jones like in a cameo in the Tick, but a Ninja Turtle?
I'm just saying you've got some pretty crazy characters in the Tick series, especially if you add in the ones that were done in the animated series as well.
Ninja Turtles was a parody of Daredevil, right? That's how it starts off. The same ooze that Matt Murdock like gets blinded by falls into the sewer, irradiates the turtles. So they could exist in the Marvel universe because the Marvel universe is insane, okay? But the Tick's universe is just silly. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference between insane and silly.
I don't know. I think if you look at the Tick's comic book series, it's more insane than silly. Because the Tick in the comic book series, I think in the very first issue, he escapes from a mental
decision. Yep. Yeah. That's him, because they think he's crazy.
Did either of you guys watch The Max?
The Max on MTV.
On MTV,
on MTV, late night, yeah.
This is very interesting, because it was very...
I always wanted to read the comic books, because pretty much everybody that has them has said, you should actually read the comic books, because they're pretty awesome.
I think I've only got a couple, but I'll lend them to you.
One of the things... yeah. I mean, the thing about the Max that always drove me crazy was Sam Keith. He was the artist and creator of the Max, and I never really liked his style. It was really bizarre looking. All the characters are very wide. The muscles are even more exaggerated than than normal, like the John... Like, if you look at the 90s style comic books, there's very John Byrne influence. There's Jim Lee, and, well, Lee Field's stuff was even crazier. But Sam Keith's stuff is so distorted and odd that I had a hard time even looking at it to finish the story.
With the concept, it was insane. You know, it's about, you know, a serial killer rapist guy. I mean, it's...
Oh yeah, I think it was just the '90s version of me as a kid who liked flashy comics. This wasn't the thing. Like, I remember the first time I saw Frank Miller stuff, I'm like, what the hell is this?
Well,
but later
again,
on, I appreciated
very wide characters.
What, you've seen the Sam Keith characters?
No, Frank Miller. The Frank Miller's Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Like, Batman is like 8 feet wide.
Well, he starts off in the first issue is actually pretty normally proportioned, and then he just gets wider and wider and wider. Yeah. It's a very different style than the flashy Image Comics 90s stuff. Even though Sam Keith and the Max were in Image Comics. So
I remember watching the birth of Image Comics because I was in going to science fiction conventions back during that time, and my dad writes science fiction, so I was going to these conventions, and I saw the first few issues of all the Image Comics. I remember the Warp graphics comics hitting the shelves as well, ElfQuest and that kind of stuff. It was crazy because, I mean, it was like this time where independent comics were just starting to kick off. It was really an interesting time to sort of be an observer for the comic book world. Again, I never really collected them, so I kind of got it just from soaking up the atmosphere of all the comic book fans.
Now, around the same time,
I don't recommend doing, by the way.
Around the same time, I think Dark Horse launched their Legends line, which had like Frank Miller, John Byrne, and I'm blanking. But they had a whole bunch of I would say more talented than the Image folks at the time. The Image folks then were just about art, and the story was very light. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out anything from the Extreme Studios section of Image, and you will see, wow, some terrible writing. But the but it was very flashy art. It looked really pretty. You know, it appealed to a lot of people. And then the Legend stuff didn't have flashy art necessarily, but it had you know, great stories.
Ayaz, have you been watching? Have you watched The Walking Dead yet?
I've watched. Is there anything beyond the first season?
No.
Then
no.
I've watched the entire first season. That's it right now.
Have either of you taken a look at the comics as well? Because Jonathan, I know you've been watching it because it's shot, you know, down the street.
I watch it while it's being shot.
Yeah,
that's the only way.
So I know the whole series out of sequence, and I'm like, which take was that? I am familiar with the comics, and I know people who have read all the comics who have – people whose opinions I respect who have a low opinion of the comic book series overall.
Overall?
Like it was a comic book series that – like whenever I hear comments about the television show, there are people who say, well, the TV show – it's interesting in that it's on, you know, basic cable television. But apart from that, it's not terribly good. And then, but what would you expect because it's based off this not terribly good comic book series? Now, I can't speak to either of those things because I've only seen the first episode of Walking Dead, and I've not read the comics. But these are people, like on Chud.com in particular, who have had these discussions, so...
Well, I haven't read the comics either because, like, I don't want to spoil the show effectively.
Yep. And see, that's the fan. The one thing that I love about it is the fact that the comics don't spoil the show. The show is pretty much completely different.
Yeah, it's already taken a different spin from the story than the comics.
I would be sitting there watching the show with, you know, a girlfriend at the time, and I'd be, you know, she'd be watching it through, and I'd already watched it. Or read all the comics, and I'd be like, wait a second, they're supposed to be dead by now. So they're writing the show very differently from the comics, which is something I think is really interesting because it actually lets you read the comics and watch the show at the same time, and you're getting two different stories going on.
The first time I heard the concept of the show, I was relatively put off by it. I'm like, okay, great. You're living in a zombie apocalyptic world. That's been done. How could this possibly be any different? And I was just surprised at how good it was put together, or how well it was put together. It was actually some really good storytelling on the show. So I don't know if I hope the comics is that good because I'm going to get to that probably.
What do you think about is Darabont who is in charge of that, right?
Oh, right, the showrunner left.
Frank Darabont. What do you think about? Yeah, he's gone now.
Yeah, I read about this thing with AMC and the trouble they're having with their shows, and it's basically
just
about money.
AMC is really They're kind of stabbing themselves in the back by really pinching on some of their more popular shows. I mean, you look at some of the shows that they have and the ones that reportedly they've been talking about cutting back on, and you're like, these are shows that have critical acclaim and a pretty decent following. Why do you want to jeopardize that? Why are you looking at cutting that back and losing the momentum you've already gained just by having these shows on the air?
Yeah, that and like I think what Mad Men's not coming out till next year, the next season. They've just been shows are just not being produced right now.
So yeah, and they were talking about bringing the show back without some of the actors for Mad Men, and that caused a huge uproar.
Have either of you watched Wilfred yet?
I haven't.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a show it's up on Hulu. It's a show that's on FX that it's really funny. It's Elijah Wood and his kind of paranoid psychosis where his neighbor's dog is talking to him and getting him into trouble.
But the dog is actually a man in a dog suit.
Yes, the dog is a man in a dog suit in the show.
And
So it's Son of Sam the comedy?
Kind of.
Somebody called it the grown-up Calvin and Hobbes.
I could go with the grown-up Calvin and Hobbes, I suppose.
Like, I want to watch it. I know it's based on an Australian show, but and I
is
haven't,
it?
Yeah, from what I've heard. So I heard that's getting a, like, I think on Netflix, people were trying to get it on the disc.
Right.
On the disc, as I say.
I like I tried watching Australian shows, but I just get tired of having to hold my computer upside down so everyone's the right side up.
You got to turn off your accelerometer. It shouldn't.
That's the problem. On there. Hey, did either of you get an HP touchpad?
I missed the sales.
I didn't. Yeah, I missed it too.
I kept an eye on the sales because I was not going to get one, but then Ayaz goes blabbing about the damn thing and finally convinces me that maybe I want to pick one up.
Did you get one?
And no, I did not. I was looking. I kept an eye on the sales as well. I saw one sale that I thought I could jump on, but by the time I actually got to the point where I was ready to fill out the form, it was clear that they were out of stock because I was getting all these weird error messages.
Have you signed up for any of the notifications?
I did sign up for the notifications for a couple of different sites, and I never got any notifications.
Well, HP's supposed to get a slew of them in back from their retailers.
Yeah, like Best Buy and stuff.
Right,
yeah.
So they've returned the stock, and so that HP has a site up. I've already signed up for that, so I'm hoping that will be the place where I can get it. But I saw a deal I missed on Sunday morning, $50 for the touchpad at Staples.
Oh, wow. God. Oh, yeah, because Staples has the $50 off tablets deal going on.
Yeah, so it was a $49 tablet, like a legit I was just like, oh, I would have bought like three.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, somebody – there's been videos being passed around of Android 2.2 running on the thing. I mean, honestly, if they get Honeycomb on it, it's the most amazing tablet ever for $100.
Well, who cares if it's got Honeycomb on it? Couldn't you just do everything in the browser anyway?
Well, most I mean, I like WebOS, but I mean, I have an Android phone, so if I could get, you know, I don't want to walk around with an iPod Touch running iOS, a Android phone, and an HP touchpad all running different operating systems.
Yeah, the real issue I would have is that I would want to be able to run the same apps that I have on my phone on the tablet, and I know that the odds of seeing new innovative apps on WebOS are dwindling rapidly. And so why would you want to have a device that has an operating system that has next to no support whatsoever, despite what HP has said?
I think that's why I would stick to web apps in general, just so they're HTML5 and I can just go from an Android device to an iOS device and theoretically the touchpad and still
question.
Be able to access the same stuff, assuming that it works fine on all of them.
How are you guys listening to music?
Well, I use my ears because I tried using my eyes, but the sound just doesn't come through as well.
You're not taking the right mushrooms, then.
Yeah.
I just shove those earbuds directly into my eye sockets, and all I feel is pain. So how am I listening to music? Well, depends. When I'm on the go, I listen to – I've got an old iPod Classic, and it's been serving me well, so there's been no reason for me to replace it. It's got my music collection on it, so I listen to that. I've been using Spotify a little bit to listen to some albums that I don't have on my iPod. And then, although that's touch and go, I'm noticing more and more of the big gaps in Spotify's music library. And then occasionally if I just want to listen to something where I'm not going to go crazy and try and rearrange a playlist or whatever, I put on Pandora. Just because I like the fact that Pandora still occasionally plays songs that I really like, but I hadn't heard of before. So it's a great music discovery tool.
Are you paying for Spotify, or are you just using the free monthly?
I just have the free one right now. I haven't upgraded because I wanted to use the free one and get a feel for it to decide whether or not it was worth investing in buying it. And I don't have a strong enough signal on my phone most of the time
Listen
to streaming services. I mean, it just because it's going like on my commute to work, I'm on the train. So when I'm on the train, I'm going in and out of service areas. It just doesn't. That would not be a very satisfying experience to try and listen to music on my phone.
Can't you sync out? Does Spotify allow you to sync it to the phone so you don't have to stream it?
You mean caching?
You cache it. There we go.
I think you can cache it if you pay. If you pay for their premium, you get their application that allows you to have offline listening. I don't know if it's your playlists or if there's particular limitations to it, but I know that's the way you can have offline access.
I use radio for that, and my problem with Spotify is that to me it's going backwards because it has a desktop client. I just hate that so much. Like, RDO works inside a browser, so I can go to any computer, open up a browser, and run RDO, or radio as I hear they're pronouncing it. But yeah, Spotify. Why is there a desktop app?
I don't know. I was. You know what? The weird thing is, you say that you like radio better. I mean, the thing is, my wife has been trying out all these different music services, and she keeps going back to radio. I'm like,
I love it. I don't know what.
I'm like,
it
why
is.
Do you hate Spotify? She goes, well, look, it doesn't. Half the time, it says you can't play this track. And that's been happening a lot more lately. I don't know if it's just a bug in their system.
I had that happen last night,
and it's frustrating because the other thing is, for some reason, it doesn't just like go to the next song. It just says can't play this track, and then it just pauses.
Oh, weird.
So yeah. I've seen other times, like other occasions, where that doesn't happen. So it's very inconsistent in its behavior. Plus, the desktop application, we have to sign in. So I have an account. My wife has an account, so she has to log out and go into for the family computer.
Radio has family accounts now.
Radio, like, apparently she just loves the visual look to it as well. Like, it's easy to find new songs. I mean, I like Spotify, and it's all the playlists you can subscribe to and try out new things. Like, I found out that I hate the top of the charts playlist. You know, I'm finding out, wow, these, like, about four of them I'll listen to, but, like, there's, like, 50 in here, and they're horrible. But I like the Guitar Gods playlist, that kind of stuff. So instead of it just being, I mean, Pandora's nice and everything, but sometimes it's really active for me. I have to tell it, okay, I don't want to hear the song for another 3 months, or whatever, it's 30 days. And you constantly have to go back to the computer and play with it to make sure that you're crafting your station versus something like Spotify that's already being curated by somebody else.
Have you guys ever played with a turntable at all? Gone to turntable?
I haven't done it.
I have.
And?
You know what? It's fun, especially in my office. Every now and then my office will just set up a room. And a bunch of us will just jump in there, and because we're all wearing headphones anyway, so you know, a lot of us will jump in there. Half the time, we'll play songs nobody else likes, but nobody cares. Their song's coming up. It's kind of nice. Like
everyone dislikes the song and boots you.
Right, which has happened a few times, but yeah, no, we use it at the office for stuff like that, and it works out really well.
Now, what is it again? It's like a DJing thing? I mean, I've seen it a couple of times the first week it came out, and it was everywhere, and then I was like, I don't want to pay attention to this. What the hell is it?
Yeah, it's like being in a big chat room. Yeah, everyone's got their own little avatars, and there are spaces for DJs. It's between one and five DJs. And the way it works is that each DJ plays a song that moves down the table to the next DJ, and you pick songs that are in the database, or you can upload songs from your library to the database if it's not already there. And different rooms have different rules. Like there's some rooms that's just if there's a spot open, you can jump up and you can play until you have to go, or someone boots you. There are other ones, like there was one room I liked a lot that was an 80s play three and then move on, which was they had three DJ spots. You would get into a queue to be put into one of the DJ spots. When it was your turn, you would get up there and you could spin three different songs. When you were done, you would step down. The next person would step up. And you know, it would alternate between the three DJs. So you wouldn't play three straight in a row. You'd play one and then two other songs would play and you'd play your second one. I really enjoyed that setup, and I got to hear some great songs that I had not heard in a long time, and some that I, you know, that were deeper cuts from albums that I didn't own back in the 80s that were fun to listen to. And I just liked that setup. I thought it was really well done. The thing is, it was all done based on the honor system. Like, you know, they didn't have a mechanic for that. People just, there had to be someone who was keeping track of what round it was and how many songs you had left and that kind of thing.
And so the point of this is music discovery. Or
just music discovery and just sharing the music listening experience with other people. So instead of just listening to music on your own, where you're sitting down at your desk or you're on the go or whatever, and you're listening to something, you're actually sharing music with other people. And, you know, you can have discussions about music. And sometimes it also creates that way of creating a fun kind of thematic experience every now and then. Like someone would play a song in the 80s room that would be, like have a car in the title, and then the next person be like, oh well, I was gonna play such and such, but I'm gonna play this instead because it has a car in the title, and just this goofy kind of stuff that kind of made it more fun. So it really brings fun back into listening to music, you know, beyond just the enjoyment of the music itself.
It still sounds like, hey, there's a lot of like crackling. Does anybody else hear that?
I hear it.
I don't hear it, so it's probably me.
So it's you. You're crackling. I guess it's something. It sounds like something you'd have to do to find it fun. It just to me, it's just like it would be too easy to irritate people with it.
Well, it definitely can be easy to irritate people. I mean, but the nice thing is there's like dozens of rooms available, so you can walk around and try and find one that that actually appeals to you based upon whatever it is that you know the room is themed after. Because there are a lot of rooms that are specifically for a specific decade of music or genre of music. And you can pretty much find something in there that you'll like.
Okay, so last topic. Ready?
Yeah.
Did anybody feel the earthquake?
lots of people did. I saw it all over Twitter.
Quite a few of them did.
Only people in Twitter. On Twitter.
Yeah, apparently. No. Supposedly, the general manager in my office at my nondescript office building felt it. But I was teleworking today, and I saw all the tweets pop up. But I didn't feel anything here, so.
Yeah, I saw
where you
are. But I'm dead inside.
I mean, where I am, there is nothing. I mean, I know, you know, I grew up in Baltimore, so I had tons of people messaging me. But there was another big one in Colorado last night, too, actually.
Oh, it was last night. Okay, that's when that was?
Yeah. No, there was one in Colorado last night. There was one in D.C. today.
Yeah, I thought Colorado was today as well. That was the thing.
I think it was like
Gizmodo took the crown. I got to say for arts, they had like this, you know, earthquakes across the country. But what they had as their graphic was America rocks,
nice
on the map, and it was just like I'm like that's really poor taste, but very funny.
Did you see the animated GIF of I Love New York that's shaking back and forth?
Yeah. The real time earthquake map.
I haven't seen that.
Did you see the chair?
Image of the damage from the earthquake, and it was a picnic table with one chair turned, a plastic picnic table with plastic chairs, and one chair was turned over.
Now there was a rumor that the Washington Monument actually is tilting.
Yeah, I saw that pop up. I haven't heard much about that since that happened. But
it'd be scary if you were at the top of it when that hit.
You can't go to the top of it anymore.
Oh, you can't?
Yeah, I haven't been able to do that for a long time.
Huh. Well, I guess I should stop doing it then.
At least I'm pretty sure you haven't been able to.
You're just climbing it from the outside, Jonathan. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, you get a hair up your butt, and you're like, hey, I'm going to climb this tower here.
That's an odd motivational technique. Okay.
Well, you know, it's the only way I get things done.
Now, is this H-A-R-E?
It can be.
Okay. On that note.
Yeah. All right.
Recording ending.
Oh, it looks like you can go up to the observation deck. Okay.
No hair required.
All right. Anyway.
And stop.